Welcome back to another episode of the Packs That She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And we're so glad that you like the music because we like it too.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun, of course, being back with Cheesehead TV. Really appreciative of the warm welcome that we've gotten these last couple weeks. So this week, wanting to continue the off-season series with a conversation about stock up and stock down for pre-selected players. We figured out it would be too broad if we talked about position groups. So we have gone ahead and selected seven players that we'll look at and decide if we think their stock is up or stock down. So Perry, I'm going to let you start right away with the first player, Romeo Doubs.
This was yours. You want me to start?
Yeah, because I know what I'm going to say.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so I think, look, I mean, we could have chosen the entire wide receiver group, but, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it. But it's Romeo, I think, is the most interesting because he's going into year three. He had an up and down season, I would say, his second year, but ended on a super high note, performing his best in the playoffs. And that's kind of the taste that was left in all of our mouths going into this coming season, as well as having what the coaches are calling like just the best camp. Like Matt LaFleur has said, he does everything extremely well. He performs at an unbelievably high level. I think the discourse around Romeo is really varied around the Packers talk. I think there's people who call him wide receiver four. They think that he's just like okay at everything.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. Yep. They call him just a guy. And then there's people who see like some real true value in what he brings to the offense. His like, I don't want to call like stoicism. That's not maybe the right word for a wide receiver, but just like consistency. He's just that's like
consistency.
He's just like the Adrian Amos of the wide receiver group is my comparison. Like just in the right place at the right time is probably going to make like a good play here and there. He maybe not like the stats aren't going to pop off the page, but like all of a sudden you're going to get a game or two. You're like, okay, Romeo, you know? So that's why I call him the Adrian Amos of wide receivers.
So is your stock up or down though?
I know this is not answering the question because I want to say up. And I say this because of his connection with Jordan Love. And I also say this again because I think Romeo is a good indicator of the trajectory and the trend of where the offense was going in the 2023 season, right? It struggled in the beginning of the season. They struggled to find their footing, find their chemistry, get on the same page. I don't think he did necessarily, but just like the offense as a whole, he always had those moments with Love. But in the end, towards the end of the season, it all really came together. And the culmination of the offense coming together led to Romeo having his best games of the season. And so I do not think that that is a fluke. I think that's what we're going to see from him in 2024. I think given A, his relationship with Love, B, the way that coaches see him and value him, meaning Matt LaFleur is going to call plays for him specifically. I think we're going to see more of him, which means more of him, more touches, more opportunities, more plays on the field, more time with the ball. So stock up for me.
Yeah, this one was really tricky. I posed it to you right when we were coming up with the show topic. And I think originally when you hear his name, you think stock down because Jaden Reed is there and we expect him. You know, we've said on the show so many times that he's going to be the first 1,000-yard receiver this season for the Packers. And he's probably wide receiver one. And you're talking about a healthy Christian Watson after he was only able to play in 9 games last season. So it's tricky because you expect Christian to get more touches. You expect Jaden to have like a bigger role. Dontavian Wicks will probably carve out his own role, you know, even though he only played in 15 games, started 6 of those games. But all of that said, I still think going into the season that Romeo Doubs might be wide receiver one. And like, I know, I like, it seems hot takey, but I think he's just shown such consistency that we think about wide receiver ones as being like Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams. Like, I don't think wide receiver one has to be much more than reliable, consistent quarterback's, you know, best friend. And that's kind of what Romeo has been. You said it. So I don't think that stays, but I think stock up at least early while, you know, the rest of the offense kind of catches up. Because it's not to say that I think like Christian Watson's not on the same page with Jordan. I don't think any of that is true. But I think when you talk about like a security blanket and the red zone blanket that we've seen, you know, especially in the playoffs, like the Cowboys game, I think that there's plenty of touches for Romeo that we'll see early and often. So I think Jaden Reed kind of usurps him mid-season, you know, as that wide receiver one role. But at least early, I would say his stock is up as far as like his value on the team. I certainly don't think that he's just a guy in regards to the offense.
Yeah. You've always been really high on him. I think his stock stays up even if the aforementioned Christian Watson, Jaden Reed start to get more touches, because those guys are going to command a lot of attention from defenses. And so as they pull defenses' attention away, I think the guy who's going to, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, reap the benefits of that is going to be Romeo Doubs, right? So defenders are going to pay attention and cover Christian Watson. They're going to cover Jaden Reed, and who's going to be left open as the options? Romeo Doubs. I think that also, we're not going to talk about the tight ends in this show, but I think it's worth mentioning that I also think that logic applies to the tight ends as well. I think you're going to see Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave also reap the benefits of how much defenses are going to cover those two wide receivers, just given their speed and what they're able, just all the things that they're able to do. We don't need to go into it too much in detail, but I do think that there is a level of stock up in terms of like what Romeo is going to kind of get rewarded with. I don't know if that's the right term necessarily, but like rewarded with when it comes to being open, like finding the hole. Dontayvion Wicks also, again, I think falls into that when you think about like a guy who's always open. It's going to be Dontayvion Wicks, Romeo Doubs, who kind of sit in those like empty holes when Christian Watson and Jaden Reed are being covered a little bit more aggressively.
Yeah, the thing I keep thinking of, or the team, I guess, I keep coming back to is the Super Bowl Packers. And that's not to say that, like, you know, the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year, but you had Greg Jennings, who, you know, ate up the bulk of the touches. He had over 1,200 yards that season. And then that was the year that they had Jordy. They had James Jones. They had Donald Driver. And Romeo Doubs, to me, is like a very James Jones type of player. James Jones never had a 1,000-yard season. His highest receiving total was 890 yards. But in 2012, he had 784 yards and still 14 touchdowns. So he was just like a touchdown machine. He had a really good connection to Rodgers. He was always where he needed to be, started all 16 games. And I think that's kind of, you know, what Romeo can be. I don't think he's ever going to necessarily break 1,000 yards. I don't think he's going to be like the guy, you know, he's not going to be like the Justin Jefferson type of wide receiver one that you would expect, like Christian Watson or Jaden Reed could have that kind of ceiling. His ceiling's not that, but if his ceiling is James Jones, that's a pretty dang good ceiling, I think, for him, and a pretty nice comp when you think about like the longevity of his career, right? And, you know, I think James Jones is one of the best Packers to play wide receiver, just from the way that he was such like a dog, and he was just always team first. And that's what Romeo is to me. So stock up for him definitely going into next season.
Team first is such a good point as well. And it's such a indication of like what I think this young group of like skill players is. They're so team first. And it's why this offense like runs like a machine, I think. Okay, let's move on to the next guy, because I want you to answer this one first.
Okay.
I think we could have picked, again, anyone on the offensive line who was a starter last season. It's a topic that we've talked about ad nauseum this offseason, because as far as the offensive side of the ball, it's the one that is going to have the most change, right, going into the season. But I want to talk about Rashid Walker, because I think, in my opinion, you could make the case either way. So I want to know where you stand.
Okay. Yeah. When we selected this one, my first thought was Stockdown. And maybe that's changing a little bit. It'll depend on how the conversation goes. And, you know, but I think that maybe my stock would have been higher if the Packers just let it be after the season. I thought his best games of the season were in the playoffs. He went up against some really stiff competition in the playoffs, some really nice edge rushers, and he played well. He really kind of came into his own in the latter half of the season, those last couple games, and then the playoff games. He looked like he could be a franchise starting left tackle. But then the Packers went out and in the first round of the draft selected somebody that they think is a left tackle. And I know that they've tried him at right guard. They've tried him other places. They might move him inside. You know, he wants to be a left tackle. It doesn't mean he will be. The Packers will play him where they think is his best fit. Maybe Rashid Walker beats him out at left tackle. But the fact that the Packers went out and said, we are going to invest in somebody who has only played this one position where we just had Rashid Walker playing, I'm not convinced. I think it has to be Stocked Down until we see him come out and like actively win that job from a first round pick.
I could not agree more. Like you said it perfectly. I have no notes. after the season, I would have said stock up. Mm-hmm. Like he really came into his own after I think struggling a little bit at the beginning of the season, which fair. He's a late round pick playing left tackle in this league. Not easy. You're going up against some of the best edge rushers. They're obviously going to pick on you. And he protected Jordan's blindside admirably over the course of the season. Without taking Jordan Morgan going into the season, I would have said unequivocally, Rashid Walker has won that job. Yep. That left tackle, left guard, right tackle locked in. It's the interior center, right guard that are question marks. Stock up. Then you said it, they go and they take competition for him. And look, I think it's one of those positions where like corner, even like quarterback, you know, there's just certain positions like you can never have an abundance. You want to take a guy when you don't need one, to use the quarterback adage. You always want to just like take offensive linemen. And this is what the Packers do, right? They fill that room. You never know what can happen. You're one injury away from, I don't know, a Royce Newman at left tackle. That's just not what you, sorry to pick on a Royce Newman, but it's just not what you want. Like you, with everything that happened with David Bakhtiari, and I don't know if that's something that influences their drafting decisions. I'm sure it's not, but you want, you want backup for that. But now you are questioning, does Rashid Walker start week one, right? Because Jordan Morgan, it's not that they took like a typical Packers-y thing where they take a left tackle.
It's not Jacob Monk.
Right. This is not like your fifth round pick situation. Like this is, they went and they took first round pick left tackle only guy. And yes, it could be that they feel like Jordan Morgan's a little bit of a project. It could be second half of the season. He could sit. He could redshirt this year. Like there's a lot. There's still a lot of time for us to sit and figure out. But you can't help but wonder what this means for Rashid Walker's job. Because obviously when you take a first round pick, like, it's just a clear sign about how they view the position and where they value the guy. And they obviously value a first round pick really high, like period. So I'm definitely stocked down on him. And you said it perfectly, until he goes out and proves that he's the guy and he's the starter. And I don't know if we'll even have the answer for that until second half of the season.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what complicates things too is the fact that Rashid didn't even get to be a true starter until the very end because he was rotating in with Yosh Nijman. And I hope for the sake of just consistency and continuity that that's not the Packers' plan, is to just rotate those guys at left tackle and see, you know, who they prefer. But that is something to be said as well. You know, he was a seventh round pick, and obviously the Packers have found a ton of gems on day three, so that doesn't equate to much. But, you know, Zach Tom was a day three guy, and they didn't draft somebody that was, you know, a true right tackle. So I think it's just telling how they feel about him. And if he wins the job, then that's incredible. And that's a really good story. And, you know, maybe they think Jordan Morgan is their right guard of the future, and he just happened to only play left tackle. The Packers historically take guys that play left tackle and play them anywhere anyway. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But I do think it's interesting that the next three guys we're going to talk about also were first round picks. So yeah, there's a lot of big questions coming up for the Packers. You can start with this one. It is Lucas Van Ness going into year two. Seems obvious, but maybe it's not.
You know, now that you point that out, it is interesting that we chose all of the first round picks. We did not consciously do that by any means. A lot to prove for these guys. A lot to prove. And I think this is also just a testament to, like, the way the Packers draft. They love their Project D types in the first round. Like, they love to get guys that have all the tools, and they got to develop them. So, yes, we're going into year two for LVN. We're going into further down the road. Not going to give it away for the other two guys. I'm sure everybody listening can guess who they are. I'm stuck up for LVN. I think there's only one answer for this one. I don't know how. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there, if you want to put in the comments your little answer for what your stock down would be. But I think you watched a very clear progression over his rookie season. He was a rotational guy. He was not a starter his rookie season. He sat, and I think dutifully so, behind two, like, bona fide starters. Preston being, like, you know, the consummate vet that you want to learn behind. Rashawn being the star who should get more snaps than you as a rookie. And he rotated in, and he did what he needed to, and he flashed in a few areas, and he looked confused in a few areas, and he looked like a rookie, you know, and fair enough. I don't know if he was necessarily put in the right positions some of the time, and that was scheme. And I think he's going to take everything that he learned in his rookie season and go in with this new scheme with Jeff Hafley and get more snaps. And all it's going to mean is higher progression, like higher production for him. I'm really excited to see him play more with his hand in the dirt. I think he looked more comfortable like that as, like, a more of a D end. He's got a lot of power. He's got a lot of speed. He's got to learn how to use it. And I hope that this new coaching staff can help him develop and get there. I think they will. And again, he's still sitting. He's still three, right? He's still edge three. He's still sitting behind two great guys to learn from. So this season, I think he's in a really interesting spot because, like, a developmental jump for LVN is not, like, too high of expectations either. Mm-hmm. Like, he just needs to make a really nice next step. This doesn't have to be your, like, Pro Bowl 8-sack season. No one's expecting that from him. Right. So, yeah, stock up. Easy stock up.
Yeah, and all I could think of when you were talking was, you know, you wonder what his contract situation, being such a, like, on a cheap deal, if he does have, like, a Pro Bowl caliber season, which we're not expecting that or projecting that. We're just saying, like, does that do anything to the Preston Smith conversation? Like, is it one of those things where it's like there will be a changing of the guard if he can handle it? Or is he really just like, are you just content to have three really good edge rushers? Because I think at this stage in the NFL, you kind of just really need three good edge rushers at all times. So I know that he got comped a lot to Rashawn Gary when he was coming out, because Rashawn Gary wasn't really a starter. He was taken the year that they picked up Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, so we knew immediately that he'd be edge three at best. So just out of curiosity, I pulled up both of their stats together, and Lucas Van Ness actually had a better rookie season. Rashawn Gary, and he played all 16 games, had two sacks, 21 total tackles, and three quarterback hits. and Lucas Van Ness behind Preston and Rashawn had 4 sacks, 32 combined tackles, and 10 quarterback hits. So doesn't mean anything. Obviously, we saw who Rashawn became, but I just thought that was like a really interesting, you know, kind of look at what LVN produced his rookie year when the expectations were like, hey, you're a rotational piece. And now that he should probably shoulder the load as a change of pace edge, you know, Preston, I'm sure they're going to take some snaps away from as he ages to keep him fresh. So he should have a full plate this year.
I love that. I love that you did that. And again, I think they're very different players.
Yes.
They have very different tools, very different athletic profiles, but it is interesting to see. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to get used very differently, but I love the idea of having them on the field at the same time. And I agree with you that I think the load will come from Preston. And we haven't even mentioned, you know, JJ Enagbare, while I guess he didn't tear his ACL, but is still coming back from injury. LVN will eat into those snaps as well as he acclimates back into the fold. Okay, let's go to our next guy, our next first round pick.
That everyone probably guessed.
This is such a fun one. I love talking about Quay Walker because just like Romeo Doubs, he is such a linchpin of Packers Twitter discourse. He could go in so many directions here. I think everyone could guess how I feel. Where are you at with him coming into the season?
I think he's stuck up. And I think, you know, his rookie season, we talked about it, I think even as recently as last episode, where we talked about the growing pains that come with being a rookie and all of your decisions are publicized in front of millions of people. And, you know, there's growing pains that come with going into the NFL and having to make split second decisions and keeping your emotions in check and handling those things. But still, 121 tackles as a rookie, came back in 2023 running alongside Devondre Campbell again. And played really well. I mean, played 14 games only. There was a lot of injury kind of turnaround. Played some games with Eric Wilson, Isaiah McDuffie. Sometimes it was Campbell. Like, it was musical chairs at the inside linebacker room. And he still had 118 tackles despite playing in 3 less games for the Packers. He had 2.5 sacks, 5 quarterback hits. And I think he just looked more comfortable and more... It feels weird to say like in tune with his body, but when you're a rookie, sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, like a baby deer where you just, your body's not moving the way that you think it's going to at the NFL level. And he seemed so much more comfortable, not only in the scheme, but in what he was being asked to do. So I think that Jeff Hafley coming in, and there's probably going to be a learning curve, but that's what all of training camp is for, right? To pick up on these things. And now he doesn't have Devondre Campbell, which is probably different for him to have to be like the guy and the face, even though he had the dot last season too. But I think having such an athletic counterpart in Edge Cooper is only going to take things off of his plate. And I'm hoping that Jeff Hafley will at least be able to utilize both of their strengths and help put Quay in the position that we think he can be most successful in, which we've realized at this point is probably not dropping into coverage. It's getting after the quarterback and maybe shading some of the bigger bodied players in the NFL.
Yeah, you said it. I think this scheme and some of the new pieces in the defense are going to be everything for Quay, because it is not for lack of skill set, talent, athleticism with him. We've seen it. Like, we have seen it. For me, watching him, it's having to overcompensate, having to do too much, being asked to play out of position almost, right? To cover, like you said, when that's really not what he should be doing, to drop into coverage, to play almost like a safety, to just do things that's not what he's good at. And to handle communication within a defense that wasn't communicating well, right? I think a lot of the mistakes, at least going back and watching last season, a lot of the mistakes, I don't want to say were not on him because a defense operates as an all 11, but I found Quay kind of running to open empty spaces where I'm sure other people were meant to be assisting, right? Just like a lot of things like that. When I really want Quay to be focusing on shooting gaps, closing in, run defense, blitzing, you know, like being that speedy athlete where he doesn't need to think so much. And to your point, you said it, Edge Cooper, and having a running mate that he trusts and is always in their right position and doing what their skill set is meant to for, elevate him. Having X, McKinney.
I was just going to add him, yep.
And, right? And just not having to worry about coverage on the back end, going to be huge for Quay. And I think also just like from a communication standpoint between him and Xavier McKinney, huge. So Jeff Hafley is going to be like everything. And look, if Quay doesn't make that jump this year in this new scheme, then maybe this is just like who he is, right? Mm-hmm. This is going to be the year where we find out. I'm of the camp that we're going to see that play out. I also just think inside linebacker is one of those positions kind of like tight end where like maybe it just takes a minute. We've seen it with some other players in the league. So I'm huge, huge, huge stock up. I think he's got like all the traits. And I've loved the flashes. We just got to like get some consistency. And I think the consistency will come when the defense is working as like a more cohesive unit.
And I think Quay is in a really tough position because he was drafted as an inside linebacker in the first round, which is something the Packers historically never do. And it was right when Devondre Campbell was coming off an all-pro season. So the expectation was that the Packers were about to have the next Buccaneers tandem of David and White, or they were going to have Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. Like there were some really high expectations heaped onto him before he even put cleats on. And that I think is tricky as well, because his floor is like your low end inside linebacker too. Like you still would want him on the field. He might not flash like you would expect like a prime Eric Kendricks to flash. So I think that is something that Packers fans also have to take into account, is that like the same with Edge Cooper. We expect him to be really, really good. And we expect Walker and Cooper to be this really formidable tandem. But we also have to consider, yeah, that they might just be good. And that's okay. Like that's probably more likely than them both being all pros.
Yeah. And I think the strength of this defense is going to come from the pass rush and the coverage on the back end. And that's like what I want from this defense. So it's just the Packers defense has never been the Fred Warner, Dre Greene. Like those are rarities. And I also think that offenses, we've had this conversation so much this offseason, but the offenses find very easy ways to pick apart the middle of the field, regardless of who's there, right? So it's okay. I'm tempered expectations, but I'm still high on Quay. His first round pick, running mate.
His buddy
is up next.
Look, Devontae Wyatt, I think, is one of those, like, we talked about, like, LVN and what that could mean for Preston Smith. I hope that if Devontae Wyatt has, like, an incredible season, it means nothing for Kenny Clark. You know, like, I think that with your defensive line and with Kenny and with Devontae, like, the better these guys are, the better your defense is as a whole. We talk about how pressure generates turnovers and, you know, you get coverage sacks. Like, everything works together in an NFL defense. And Devontae Wyatt had a 5.5 sack season, played in all 17 games, just had a really nice year. 11 quarterback hits, just like put things together, I think maybe quicker than we even thought, made more of an impact than maybe necessarily we were expecting. And it's hard to say that when you've got like Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden, but I think for going into his second season, he met expectations last year. So I don't know how much his stock can go up to me is the problem. Like, I don't know what his ceiling is. And as a first round pick, maybe his stock should be up because you expect more. Yeah. But with Carl Brooks, like I said, and with Colby Wooden, also potentially eating into some of his snaps. I don't know. Like, maybe his stock is down simply because of the emergence of some of the other guys that have shown really, really nice flashes. And the Packers coaching staff is going to want to see them get playing time too.
Interesting. I wasn't expecting you to go there. I feel like we need like a, like you're not, if you're listening on audio, I apologize. Cause I'm doing a body movement.
Stock like, neutral.
Yeah. Like with LVN, like my stock is like exponential, right? Mm-hmm. And with Quay, my stock is like a good S&P market 500, 10%.
I was going to say 45 degree angles. So we're on very different, like.
With Devontae Wyatt, I'm like lower, neutral.
It's hard.
I think that, I can't believe I just made that reference. I think if he can finish some of the plays that he was making in the 2023 season, get those sacks, get those, turn those quarterback hits into sacks, right? Make collapse the pocket, stop finishing around behind the quarterback kind of deal, then you're going to see a lot more impact from him. Like, he has it in him, certainly. That's where I think his stock up is. My one piece is, you already mentioned it, is like, you're a running mate. You're running mate to Kenny. You're always going to be running mate to Kenny. You are never going to be number one.
We hope, barring injury, but yes.
sure. Knock on wood. But like, I want Kenny to play less snaps because I want Kenny to protect his body. But like you mentioned already, there's a full rotation of guys depending on the situation that the Packers could put in there. It's not like they're 100% dependent on Devontae Wyatt to like plug in when they need to take Kenny off the field. So I think with more snaps, you're going to see more production, but that's only if Devontae Wyatt can finish plays.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity while you were talking, because of course I looked at the number of snaps that they played in 2023, and Kenny Clark was playing 73% of defensive snaps, which is actually kind of low for him. Huh. Normally he's in like the low 80s or the high 70s. So 73% of snaps, which I think is good. That's probably where you want him going into these next couple of years. Devontae Wyatt played exactly 50% of defensive snaps. So possibly there's a world where Kenny dips into like the high 60s and you've got Devontae and Carl Brooks. No, you're absolutely against that.
I want Kenny. I actually thought Kenny was playing more than that. 75 feels right. And Devontae Wyatt, I mean, yeah, maybe put him on the field for like 60, but I don't want Kenny off the field any more than that.
I just want Mr. December to come back because that's when Kenny is at his best. So as long as he is fresh for December, it's like the Preston Smith argument, I think, a little bit. Is like, do you trust the guys in the room to take the load off? And there's a case to be made that between Wyatt and Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden, keep going back to those two, they're not on our list, but maybe they should have been. Like, I think it's a nice rotation. TJ Slayton, we're not even counting him. Yeah. So yeah, I think his stock is like very tricky to pin down, because if he has the same season that he had last season, I'd be like, yeah, that's a good season for him. He was fourth on the team in sacks and QB hits. I'm like, fourth is good. Yeah.
Like, does Devontae Wyatt get stock up for allowing Kenny to have his best statistical season?
Yeah, right? Like that, probably, yeah. Like if he's a good... Kenny hasn't had that kind of muscle next to him in a while, I think.
Yeah. So, like, it's not you, but you're letting the guy next to you play the way we've always wanted to see him play. Mm-hmm. And we get 8 sacks out of Kenny Clark.
That's fair. I think that's fair. Look at that.
It's a team sport.
The teams, exactly. It takes all 11.
I'm being somewhat facetious, but to be serious about it, like, you don't draft a guy in the first round for that reason.
Right.
Like, you need more production out of him. You really do.
Yeah, I mean, ideally you have Kenny and Devontae both sitting at 7+ sacks, and but I think that could be coming. And I think that, again, goes to the other guys in the room, TJ Slayton, you know, yeah. And it also goes into Jeff Heffley. And we're pinning a lot on him, but I think it's warranted because we just have to see. So
it's warranted because look at all the pieces we're talking about. Like, we're thinking Kenny Clark has another, okay, let's give it six sack season. We want Devontae Wyatt to get close to that as well.
At least six, yeah.
LVN had 4. You want him to make a jump, 6. You know Rashawn can get to 10, easy. You know Preston can get into, 8? So you're having 5 guys with 5+ sack seasons. That's a good, of course you want your defensive coordinator to get the most out of the guys that he has on his roster, because that's just, that's us being like, that's me being like, conservative about it. They could do more than that. They maybe should do more than that. Right. So I don't think it's too much to be putting on a defensive coordinator, given the amount of talent that he's walking into.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So let's stick with defense one more time before we talk about our last player, who I'm sure everyone can guess at this point, but talking about Keyshawn Nixon. I think this is a very polarizing one. Really curious your thoughts. Curious, you know, in the comments on YouTube, please feel free. Send us your comments on Twitter as well. Keyshawn Nixon finished 2023, played in all 17 games, started 13 of them, had 1 interception, 6 passes defense, a half sack, and 80 total tackles. So right now it looks like his job is at starting nickel, which is fine. And he also is going to have what we expect to be a very, very large role as a kick returner under the new kick return rules. Could see him potentially house a couple. Like, I think that is, I don't know if we want to consider that in part of his stock up, stock down.
I was just going to ask you that.
But
are we talking Keyshawn as a defender or Keyshawn?
Let's do both.
Okay. So, okay, before we get into this, we tried to choose like one per part of the defense. So I think there are a lot of guys in the secondary you could have chose. Keyshawn to me is like the most interesting, as you said. Keyshawn as a kick returner is the easiest one for me. It's stock up easy. The dude's 2-time all pro. The new rules are going to make it even easier for him to be explosive.
Yeah.
I think going into defense, I actually don't know if he's even going to be the nickel 100% of the time. So he's going to be even more rested to be a kick returner, given that he's going to have even more juice. I think it's going to be electric. It's going to be so much fun. As a defender, I'm actually also stock up as hell with him.
Okay.
And I say that, and I think listeners of this show are probably going to know why we feel this way. I don't know if you feel this way, but why I feel this way is because I think Halfway is going to be a lot more creative with the talent in the secondary. I think there's going to be a lot more movement happening. Slot corner, again, a conversation we've had a ton, but like, it's just a really difficult position to play in the NFL. And I think expectations are really high. It's base. It's just your base is your boundary and your slot. And they're just two completely different positions at this point, right? Your boundary corners play a very different game than your slot corner does. And your slot corner goes up against respectfully very different players than your boundary corners do. They see a wide range, variables, the body types, the different types of players that offenses are now moving around into the slot. It's, I think, way harder at this point. Like, maybe that's a hot take. I don't know. But I think slot corner might actually now be a harder position to play than playing on the boundary. I think boundaries just look a little bit more straightforward, at least at this point. So, or at least you know what you're expecting on the boundary.
Fair. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, look, think about who Keyshawn is. He was picked up, from a practice squad? Like, he has exceeded all expectations for who he was when he was brought in and has played exponentially above and beyond what anyone hoped that he would. I think that as Jeff puts guys in positions to succeed, looks at opponents week to week and says, this week, I think our opponent warrants Keyshawn in the slot. Keyshawn will play in the slot, right? I think some weeks, and it may vary mid-game, right? I think we're going to see a lot more movement and change mid-game than we ever did in our past defensive coordinators, especially in the secondary. Maybe we see movement with Jair. We see movement with Javon Bullard. There's going to just be less pressure on one single player to constantly be covering all the different types of guys that you see in the slot. And I just think it's going to lead to Keyshawn having success because he's only going to be going up against players who he's going to have success against. So I'm stock up, like stock up so, so, so high.
So I really like that. I think that's a really interesting argument. And the only possible reason that I thought stock down is for the same reason, is that he might not see the field as much. So depending on your definition of, you know, what counts stock up, stock down, your stock up would be he's going to be in a position to be more successful, so his stock has to be up. My stock down perspective was just he might be on the field less. So if you're looking at stock as far as like playing time, then he's stock down. But for all of the reasons that you listed, I think absolutely stock up. As far as him being a successful NFL player, stock up. And I think Andy Herman, a bunch of people have talked about it on Twitter already, but slot is also one of like the hardest positions to play. And it's a hard position to gauge because if you mess up, it is incredibly obvious, right? Like if you are not where you're supposed to be, that's blown up. But if you do something really well, it's also like, you covered your guy. You know, like it's really also hard to gauge very good slot play. So it was really easy to see the moments that we were like, okay, Keyshawn probably wasn't, you know, doing exactly what he should have done on that play. But we took for granted all of the really good moments that he had last year as Green Bay's starting nickel. So I think that warrants its own, I don't know, its own grace period where I think Keyshawn's stock is really high for a lot of reasons. But seeing him in like maybe his true form as the nickel that we think he should be under Jeff Hafley definitely means stock up for him.
Yeah. I keep thinking about, I mean, you mentioned his one interception, which honestly, if you'd asked me, I would have said he had more. Mm-hmm. It was against the Chiefs, which was the game, like essentially the game winner. But I keep thinking about when you think about the top slot guys in the NFL, I think the immediate names that come to mind are Kenny Moore and Trent McDuffie. I think, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. By PFF standards, Keyshawn was only a couple of points behind them. I mean, and you just said it best, is you only notice really glaringly when they mess up. You don't notice so much when they do something great. I think those guys make more splash plays. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as a kind of wayward fan across the NFL, you notice the splash plays the most, and Keyshawn only had one interception. So here we are. But like when it comes to, and again, PFF grades aren't everything,
right?
But when it comes to it, he was not that far behind either of those guys. So it just kind of goes to show, like, to your point, we judge really harshly without actually taking a look at what a guy is doing really well. And I think overall, over the course of the season, Keyshawn had a really good season, and the season only got better towards the end of the year. I actually don't judge stock up or stock down based on playing time, to answer your first point, because I think it's based on what you do when you are on the field.
Right.
So, and Keyshawn is just like, he's a little bit of an enigma for this mm-hmm. team. You know, he has such a unique role.
He really does.
He has two like very distinct jobs, and he does both of them really exceptionally well. To me, almost like he's our all-pro kick returner, who also is just like a very, very solid slot corner. And I'll take it all day.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it also is contingent upon your supporting cast. And in 2023, his supporting cast was injury riddled, and you never knew who was going to be the starting safeties that week. Would Jair be able to play? Like, that's a really hard world to live in for any of the secondary players. I'm not talking just about him. I'm talking about Corey Ballantyne and Jonathan Owens and like everybody that was there. It's hard to not know if you're the starter that week or what your role is going to look like. So as much as his status as, you know, nickel might be up in the air with like Javon Bullard and Evan Williams and a lot of these new guys that have come in, I think it also solidifies his spot in a weird way of, you know, the role that he is assigned, the role that he gets from Jeff Hafley will be the role that he's probably best at. And he's probably perfectly fine to give away the rest of it. Like, he probably doesn't need to be. And I know, you know, the defensive mentality of any good NFL players that they want to be on the field for 100% of the snaps and they want to live and die with the game on their shoulders. But I do think there's something to be said about putting him in the position where he'll be the most successful, and being able to lean on a supporting cast is what's going to make him, I think, really successful. So let's shift to our very last player, the one that you're probably most excited to talk about, Anders Carlson. Let's talk about the kicker. Stock up or stock down for him going into his second season with the Packers?
Okay. I think people are going to be surprised that I'm saying this, but I'm stock up on Anders.
I think that's the only answer, because if it was stock down, he's not going to be on the roster.
Right. Like, give the guy another chance. I think, like, if it's stock down, he's getting cut. So, and given the other options on the roster right now in camp, I should say not on the roster, the guys they have in camp, he's clearly the best option. Like, clearly the best option. He has the biggest leg. So let's see what you got, Anders. It's got to only be up from here, because it's either up from here or it's getting cut.
I mean, yeah, there's really no two ways to slice it. Greg Joseph obviously is in his fourth year, and then James Turner, the rookie out of Michigan, they also brought in. So three kickers still, and I think that sends a good message, right? Is that even though Anders has looked really good in training camp, there's still three kickers. You know, they could have left it at just Greg Joseph. It could have just been a two kicker competition, but the fact that they're continuously bringing in more bodies, I think, just shows that they're not content with the performance that they saw. But we also have to remember that he was a draft pick, and people have done it already. We don't need to like rehash the stats, but Mason Crosby, it took a couple of years. We've used Daniel Carlson as an example. Anders' brother was cut from the Vikings, now is one of the better kickers in the NFL with the Raiders. So takes time. And for all we know, he'll be just as good, if not better. And maybe he'll be the Packers kicker for the next like 10, 15 years like Mason, but the growing pains are normal. And I think it's a kicker. We talked about it is probably a thankless job for a lot of the season, because you're either scoring points or you're losing games. And that is not a really comfy place to be in. So stock up for him. And maybe some of that's wishful thinking, but I do think a second year in the league and the new kickoff rules and working with Rich Spaccia another season, all of that will go into him putting it all together.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. If you have any thoughts, we want to hear from you. Put it in the comments how you feel about these players. Stock up, stock down. Let us know if you disagree. Be nice about it, but let us know if you disagree. Yeah, this is a fun one. I think we do this one every off season. This is like a usual episode. So we'll be back next week with another hot topic. To be
TBD.
we do have a very exciting guest coming up. Yes. As you can see, if you're watching on YouTube from my background, I'm not home, but when I return home, we're gonna have one of Packer Nation's favorite guests,
most beloved in all of the Packers sphere.
Beloved is right. We cannot wait. We will not spoil it. We want you to be excited, but get pumped, because we're pumped. We love this person like with all of our heart and souls, and cannot wait to have them on the show. So yeah, little teaser there. Like, comment, subscribe, do all the things, please. You know where, you know what to do. And thank you as always for listening.
Yeah, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go, baby.